Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome everybody out this morning. So I guess I was, trying to decide a little bit what to talk about this morning. Just kept, rolling that around a little bit and didn't want anything real complicated, but then I think I picked something complicated. But anyhow, should be something very easy, I think, of giving of God's money and talking about that. Break that up there, but then you have to break it down a little bit. How much do we give, or what all does that look like, and how comfortable are we of giving of our money? Are we joyful about that, and are we happy about that we have to do that in our Christian life, is giving of our money and giving of our time? I'm going to mostly be focusing on our money, so that side of things this morning. Now, there's all kinds of aspects about giving, but it does involve a whole lot of other things about life. But I believe we do handle a lot of money, and things evolve around money. And I think we can continue to grow in that. At least I know I can. How much do we give? We can talk percentages. We can talk tithe and all that, but I think it's something that we grow into, like how much we are comfortable of giving what God has given to us. And sometimes we get mixed up a little bit when we're thinking about how much we want to give, is we start calling it ours and we start claiming it, and then that creates a problem, because then we have to decide how much of our money we want to give away. But it should be the concept of giving of God's money and keeping it that way. And so anyhow, so I did bring a ball up here, and you're probably all wondering about what this ball is. And I thought I'd start out with a little bit of a, illustrated story or something. But what all, like your precipitation, what all is a ball good for? What would this ball be used for? It's a pretty soft ball and kind of rubbery. What do they use this ball for? Any children know what this ball would be used for? What's this ball used for? Yep, you can kick it. Yep. Anything else? You use any of these balls at school for anything, or soft spongy balls, or don't you get involved in anything in school? The dodgeball, yeah, this is probably used mostly for a dodgeball. I mean, it does look pretty too, but I guess if you like all the rainbow colors. But thinking of other balls, pretend this was like a basketball. What would you use basketball for? What's that? Yep, basketball. I mean, throw it around and you have a team and you're playing together and focusing on getting it in a hoop. In softball, you have a team, you're playing together and working together. Well, there's many different balls you use for different things. Volleyball, it's a big thing, volleyball. You have teams and you play and you can coordinate and get good at it. So we have all these things in balls, but now if I would take this ball here, we play dodgeball and we have a dodgeball game going on, and I would just stick it under my arm and just walk around, don't get involved and don't do anything with it, just hold it underneath the here all day long. There's all kinds of games going on dodgeball and I'm just holding it. Just going to hold this ball. It's me, myself, and I'm just going to hold it. See here, I got this ball. How much fun is that? But if I would pitch it to Bentley, okay, you pitch it to somebody else. Okay, now we got teamwork going on there. And there's communication going on. It's more fun to get pass it back and forth and help each other out in a team. But somehow or other, when we get to money, we think of something different. We don't want to do that. We want to just hold that ball and claim it ours. Not willing to share it around and help others. And I think that's what God wants us to do when He gives us that money. He wants us to share that around and help others. So just a little short illustration. Hopefully you get a little bit of the point. Ball plan can be joyful, can be fun, working together as a team. And I think the same way as many other things in life, we work together as believers and helping each other out. And we'll get more into that as we go through talking about money, how we help others out. So just the whole concept about money coming from God, and it is God's. Everything that we own is God. It does come from Him ultimately. It's something that He gives to us and trusts and gives to us to hopefully manage and do a good job at it. So if God does look at your life, how does He view as you as a manager, handling your money, you know, giving of your money, sharing it around, helping each other? You know, would He say you're a good person to have on His team to help others? You know, are you willing to give up, you know, your ball, so to speak, or your money to help others around, especially in the household of your faith? And I believe it is something that we need to learn. I didn't always give as much as I should have. I regret that. Didn't quite understand the whole concept, or didn't always get it. Always seemed like other things was more important up on the list other than giving her money. Like, the paycheck just didn't reach around, well, so to speak. I didn't think so anyhow. I guess it didn't have the priority straight of where the Bible talks about, you know, giving of our money first off, and then everything else comes second. And I know there is some cases, and if you are in a real bad way, it's a little hard to do that. But I believe there could be a little given in those cases, just to get the whole concept of giving to God and sharing around. Anyhow, I didn't always thought, you know, there's some verses where it talks about. I wrote some verses down here in 1 Timothy 5:8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those in the household of his faith, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. So, when you read that verse, if you just take that verse, you're supposed to take care of your household, you're supposed to pay all the bills, you're supposed to do everything you want, right? But then at the end of that, there's no money left. Well, that's kind of the wrong idea, but it kind of gets in your head maybe as a young person, or wasn't really taught to give off the top the first fruits. And then also, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things you have. So we can get the idea, well, we're content with what we have, but we're not going to share that around because we want to be content. And if we have to give it away, then we're not going to be too content. So that was just some of the things that rolled through my head is when I was young trying to figure this out. And then another verse, I didn't write it down, talks about, you know, don't let your left hand know what your right hand and right hand, left hand giveth. So we're not supposed to keep track of all this and what we give. And that's not really the right concept either. So I guess I would like to present, you know, talks about in Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So I think that should be our focus, you know, putting the giving part up pretty high on the list, or very high on the list. Should be one of the first things on the list, according to that verse. Then it says, if you do that, so shall thou barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So you'll have plenty, to go around, I believe. You won't have to worry about that. All your needs won't be met, because we're putting our trust and faith in God in the process of doing that. And He will see to bless us with what we need to make the ends meet. Deuteronomy 15:7-8 talks about an open hand concept. We can do a lot more with open hands than with a tight fist. And, you know, just picture that a little bit too. If you have an open hand and you're holding money in that hand and freely giving, but if you're got money and just grasping onto it, it's not going to be freely given. Plus, if you have an open hand, God can bless it more abundantly when you have an open hand gesture to people. You know, be willing to give, is not grudgingly, not sparingly, is what that concept is there in verse in Deuteronomy 15. So how often does it talk about giving in the Bible? It does talk quite a bit about giving. There's a lot of verses you can go to. I searched on Google and it said there's over 100 times that in the Bible talks about giving, and I didn't go look up every one of them and prove whether that was right or not, but it does. There is a lot of teaching on giving of our money, and I think it's something that we need to, yeah, set up and pay attention to and be mindful of. First time in the Bible it talked about giving, or God was teaching there, was in Genesis 4, where Cain and Abel gave an offering to God. And then we know the story there where, yeah, they both gave their offering, and then one wasn't pleased that they wasn't blessed as well as the other one. And so, yeah, that was a teaching moment there for us too. We could go into many different things there, but you know the story. You know, are we jealous of what other people can do and give, and are we willing to get angry about that or upset about that, or are we doing our best as well? And then the other story was, is when where it talked about tithing, giving 10%, was in Genesis. Didn't write that down, but it was when Abraham was returning from battle, and he had lots of goods and lots of things that he was, you know, was able to get in that war. And he was coming back, and he met Melchizedek, and he was willing to give 10% of his goods to Melchizedek there at that time. And that was a teaching of giving the tithing of 10%. You know, reading that story, I didn't see anything that Abraham grudgingly gave that. He was willing to do that. So, you know, thinking of giving, you know, giving of our money cheerfully and willingly, you know, just thinking of Jesus when He came here on earth. You know, He gave up heaven, gave up all the, I don't know, streets of gold and whatever, all the beauty that is there in heaven, and then also giving of His life and lived here amongst us. And giving our life and end times, His end time there, you know, building and teaching us about giving and loving our neighbor. So thinking of something that is opposite of giving, when I was a younger boy, I remember a preacher, I can't remember his name, but I don't know how, I'm sure I was, yeah, I don't even know if I've been in the teens yet, but it was really impressed upon me. He kept talking about misers, I don't know. He had a whole sermon on misers and how they, does everybody know what a miser is? Miser is a person who holds wealth and spends or gives little as possible. So I remember him always saying, yeah, miser is one person that he just collects all he can, get all he can get, throw it in a can, and sit on the lid. That was his whole concept of it. Yeah, always. Maybe I didn't understand that totally, but it always stood out to me. You know, are we being a miser? Are we being somebody that's willing to give up of our wealth and give our time and helping others? Yeah. Another thing is we can think about is when we're handling our money, we hear sometimes when we need to be frugal. We need to be careful with our money, and I think us as Anabaptist people, we don't have any problem at all being frugal and good with our money, so to speak. I think maybe we're almost too frugal sometimes and too tight with those things, you know, thinking of, I think we need to be frugal with God, not really frugal with all of our material blessings or money and all that. I think that should be what we're frugal about, is, you know, creating a heart towards God and, you know, having a relationship with Him. We can pinch our pennies, we can, you know, do all these things to be frugal, run around to different stores and find the best deal and all that stuff, which is great and good, and it's time, I guess. It depends on if it fits. I have a little bit of problem with that sometimes. We spend $20 to save nickel, but anyhow, that's another whole subject. But, you know, how are we being frugal, and, you know, what does that look like in our life? I think we need to learn how to be frugal with God. Heart that is generous. Giving is a way that we can demonstrate our faith and trust in God. I believe it does build trust with God, giving of our money. You know, we can have all these things that we think we need and want, and we sparingly want to give them up. But by doing that, we're putting our trust and faith in God that He will make our ends meet and He will supply our needs. And I believe it also helps us grow spiritually as well. There's that communication, there's that joy of happiness going around when we're giving of our money and helping others out. And I think we need to keep reminding ourselves that God owns everything. He is, you know, 100% in charge of everything in our life. I believe that should be our concept. So I just want to throw that out there again. That should be our ultimate goal as we're looking at the funds that we have, the money that we have. Thinking of being frugal and going after every dollar and pinching every penny, the Bible talks about in a couple different places about gleaning. Jesus taught about, I think, gleaning, letting some for others. Boaz with Ruth told his gleaners to let some for the poor. And so you're thinking about that. How often do we're picking everything so tight and trying to get the best deal, but then we're in the process of the deal that we're getting, we're hurting somebody else. You know, there's many different avenues that happens. You know, you have people that spend hours and hours of making a project or making something by hand. and it's worth lots of money, but you know, we want to just give them $20 or $50. You know, is that something that we want to be known for? You know, I think that involves in the idea of gleaning too. You know, we're willing to, we want to get something for a deal, but what about if we get it? We could afford it for $150 or $200, and somebody else is not able to get it at a deal. I don't know, just different things that you could think of along that idea of gleaning. I think it is something that we need to set up and pay attention to, because it was talked about in Scripture, and it's something that we need to be mindful of as we go about life trying to get the best deal. I'm not all against about being finding deals, don't get me wrong, but what is our motive or what is the reasoning? And then also, is it affecting somebody else the wrong way, but in the process? And I wrote this down, I don't know if you can take it or leave it, but I don't think God really cares that you spend $500 for a coat or $20 for a coat. The only thing that he cares about is that we're willing to give the coat up. You know, if you spend whatever for whatever, you put a figure to it, I don't think God is really looking down and saying, oh man, you spent X and X amount of dollars for this. You did terrible. But I think he is blessed when we're willing to give that up to help someone else in need, or you know, whatever that may be. That's just an old one side note comment there, but I think it, yeah, for myself, it's something they need to look at. So some other verses that I want to read here before we go on, and then after I read some verses, we'll maybe get talking into some more figures. Beans were most, I think, businessmen here and ladies, and we understand some figures. I want to throw some figures around just for food for thought and get us thinking. But the first verses I want to read is in 2 Corinthians 9. And it's going to start reading at verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Cheerful. Is that how we're doing? And God is able to make all grace abound in towards you, that you also, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. So God does disperse things around. He helps others out. But I think we have part to play in all this too, in our managing of our money and our time and our talents and everything else involved. But, you know, thinking of money this morning, are we cheerfully and happily giving of that money? I'm not sure what all that looks like. Maybe more picking songs for offerings. Maybe they should be uplifting and joyful. I don't know. Or maybe we should be jumping up and down. I'm not sure what all that means, but we're supposed to be happy about it anyhow. John 12. Four to six. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and hear what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of the burying hath she kept this. The poor always you have with you, but may you have not always. So I think what we see here is that he was worried about what was given away or what was it sold for. He was not really worried about what given to the poor. I don't believe that's what his focus was. His focus was more on being a thief, trying to get what he could get. He had control of the money there. And that's those verses. And then I had some verses in 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19. That they do good, and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up stores for themselves, a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You know, are we willing to, you know, do that good? You distribute some things around amongst us, help each other out, and then also in the whole process, you know, lay up things for the future too. That we're not, you know, worse than an infidel, not taking care of our family. So yeah, that's just a couple of verses that I found challenging as I read them and wrote those down. Thought I'd share those. I'd like to say there's many verses and many different things you could go to. There might be some good ones that I missed, but anyhow, that was where my focus was going. So let's get on and talk about a few figures here. So about 5% of Christians give a 10% tithe. And this is like worldwide or whatever, some studies has been done. And some other studies show that 2.5 to 2.7% give 10% of their income. You know, that's, or maybe I read that wrong. They only give about 2.5 or 2.7% of their income. So that's pretty low on the average of, you know, looking at the whole scheme of all the Christians abroad. It's hard to believe that it's only 2.5 and 2.7% on the average. But there is 77% of the givers that give more than 10%. I don't know how they did that study, and that's of that 5% of the Christians that are given. You know, some of them are given more than the 10%. So if Christian people would actually at least give 10% of their tithe of their income, churches would have more than 139 billion more each year than what they have now. $139 billion more. Imagine what all the churches could be doing and helping people if people would actually at least give 10% of their income. That's just kind of mind-boggling, thinking of God's word and his teaching about tithing and giving 10% and how poor we're actually doing. 2.5 to 2.7. We got a long ways to make up that 139 billion. An average church giver person gives about $17 per week. So I don't know if you can, if you do math and what we gave this morning and how many people's on the benches, you might be pretty close. I don't know. Or less. 49% of the population in the U.S. give to faith-based religions. Now, this is people that's not really a Christian and people that, you know, feel the need to give money and everybody. So at least they're giving to some faith-based religion. Another interesting thing, I know we was talking about in the brothers meeting about setting up an online giving thing and things like that. Looked into that a little bit, and I guess there's been some studies done, and the one study was showing that it increased their giving of 32%. That's, well, I guess they did like a bunch of churches, and they all set up an online giving amount and increased 32%. So maybe that's one way we can get closer to the 10%. I don't know if we can set up... And in the whole process, 60% of people are writing less checks today. And there's 76% of people don't carry more than $50. So that's, the banks did that study. I found that interesting. There's, you know, an average of only $50 being carried around. Okay, well, let's get down to a little bit more on a personal level.
Whatever else, but let's just talk about here at Cornerstone. So we got, let's just say, 26 men or ladies that are making on average of $65,000 a year. What do you think that I guess right or not? This is all just guess, but some are making more, some are making less and short. But anyhow, that's an average of $1.7 million a year. So if you divide that by 52 weeks, that is $32,692 a week. You take that times 10% and it's $3,269. How often would you get that? I don't know. Brotherhood, let's take that for instance. Yeah, we're supposed to help our household out, our church family. We do that six times a year, $3,269. That's $19,613 a year. 5 years, we'd have $100,000. Just some interesting figures you could throw around on different things. But does get your mind thinking, you know, how well are we doing? And where are we standing up on what God wants us to give? You know, are you comfortable with where we're at? I'm not sure
that I'm too comfortable. I mean, $3,269. I don't know what our average is a year, but I'm sure it's not as high as it could be. So that's a challenge to me. Hopefully it's a challenge to you as you take a look at that. You know, being a cheerful giver and all that looks like. Are we happy with what we're given? You know, are we shouting glory, hallelujah? What have we done? I don't think we need to draw attention to ourselves and thinking that that's, you know, but at the same time, I think, you know, we want to keep track. We want to play a game. We want to play a ball. We want to do all this, work together, keep track of stuff and keep track of how much we make. But then when it comes to giving, it's hard for us to talk about it or do it or, you know, be willing to do that. You know, we get stuck in a rut of what we do. You know, are we willing to break out of that rut and do something different? Making that difference up of the where we're at to where maybe we should be. Just some other thoughts. Wrote down, giving is a community foundation. And thinking of that, you know, giving in our community, helping our community, you know, with finances or time, does build a foundation in our community. Our community looks at us, what are we doing? What is our witness? Are we just here coming to this church building, just putting in time and, our presence? And then giving for God is a relationship. I believe it's something that's a communication back and forth. We're throwing the ball back and forth, so to speak. We're getting that relationship built with Him, built up with Him. And I believe it can also help us grow more spiritually. And it also builds trust with God. And giving also can help relationships. It builds each other up, helps each other out. It's part of the teaching about not being worse than an infidel, but not helping, first making sure your household is well off or taken care of. Giving reduces stress and anxiety, just because we're going to be hopefully more cheerful. It's a blessing to give, and also if you're giving to somebody else, it's a blessing to them. Giving also provides a sense of purpose or fulfillment. So it's a good feeling. It's a good purpose to make some more money, maybe, or to, just many different purposes in life about the thing of giving. Giving can connect to others. And I believe giving is also a spiritual journey. I think it's something that we need to continue to grow, and something that we don't automatically, bam, we're doing it. It's, at least I don't find it that way. I think it's something we always have to work at. So another I don't know if it's a poem or some thoughts wrote down, put together as I was studying. I kind of continually put this together a little bit. I don't know, hopefully it makes sense, but I'll read it. When I hold these treasures that He lends for my oversight carefully, but lightly with my hands open towards heaven, displaying faith, having that faith, having an open hand, they somehow remain secure because we have an open hand and we're putting our trust in God. It's going to stay secure. And it also, it seems to reward our postures. Sometimes He will even open to me a lot more things to give and pour out a blessing, that there will be room enough to receive. And I think that is maybe part of a scripture verse talks about, like, there will be lots of room for God to bless us with if we have an open hand. But if we have a fist, God will not, it's going to be hard to get in there. We're going to be closed up. We're going to be not, we need to have that open hand. So thank you, God, for what you give to us to manage and to give. So that's my thoughts a little bit on, giving of our money. Hopefully it's a challenge to you. Is me. I believe it is something that we continue to grow in, like I said before. And it is something that I believe is a communication. It's something that we can work together with God and learning to know more about and how to handle His things that He gives us. So that's my challenge, thinking of our ball concept again, passing it around, helping each other, teamwork, that all is involved in, giving of our money, helping each other out, especially in the household of faith and in our household or ourselves, I think should be our focus first, and then help and give beyond that. So thank you for your help and attention, and Hope you're blessed by that.